Hey everybody, thanks again for joining us for another installment of the Easy Tarot Lessons podcast. This is information coming from the forthcoming book, The Easiest Way to Learn Astrology Ever, and this is the official podcast for that book. My name is Dusty White, the author of The Easiest Way to Learn the Tarot Ever, the forthcoming book, The Easiest Way to Learn Astrology Ever, and this is one of my students and an accomplished astrologer in herself, in her own right, Colonel Carol Powers. Carol, how are you doing today?
I'm doing great, thanks. How are you?
Excellent. I want to let everybody know that we are going to be resuming regular installments of this podcast. I took a break for that Kickstarter campaign, but we're in the clear now, so I hope you will subscribe on iTunes. That's absolutely free. If you don't know how to do that, you can go to the Easy Tarot Lessons podcast page. And if you found this podcast, you probably know where it is. And scroll way down on the right, and you'll see a big white button that says subscribe with iTunes. When you click on that, it'll open a web page that opens iTunes. What happens if you don't have iTunes? I don't know. Or you just go into iTunes, click on the iTunes store, and then your search bar, which is way up at the top right, the little magnifying glass, type in Easy Tarot Lessons Podcast, and that should bring you there and just get to subscribe. Today, I want to recap some of what we've done, because it's been a while, and we're about to go into the deep end of the pool. But again, always in baby steps, and with this little techno babble or astrological jargon as possible, so that you can relate this to the world around you. Carol, in our previous conversation, you've mentioned something, and I want to give you the floor, because you said it perfectly about how all of this has to be relatable. Do you remember what you said?
Yeah, I said that I thought it was really important that, you know, we go over a lot of what you go over with, especially in the beginning, where you link everything to everyday life and energy and things around us that we can understand. So people realize that when you talk about astrology, it's not just a little blurb of the newspaper. It's something that's all around us all the time, the energy that's us and everything in the world. And, you know, whether you believe it or not, you don't get away from it. It's there whether you want to believe it or not, but it just makes it so much more relatable the way that you explain it.
Thank you. Yeah, it's like I was born, raised, and lived in Southern California for, well, ever, because I'm like a million years old now. Southern California, we like to think we don't have seasons, or we have two seasons, sun and then a couple of days out of the year, close to Christmas, it rains. But the fact that we don't get a lot of rain or we don't get a lot of leaves changing color, palm trees certainly don't, this doesn't mean we're immune to the seasons. It's just that the seasons are less obvious in Southern California than they would, let's say, in Canada or Vermont or something like that. In the same way, this is like saying you don't have to believe in astrology, but the seasons are still there. Astrology is still there. As a matter of fact, astrology is the root science. It's why we have psychology, why we have medicine, why we have seasons in the first place. And we will get to all of that. But first, I want to go back and cover the basics, because these are not only important to know now, but when you're doing the super advanced stuff, the level of which you really grasp this will be directly proportionate to the level of which you're getting the super advanced stuff. Also, the more you know this stuff, the easier it'll be to just run right through very complex formula and go, without even having to really consciously bring it up while you're saving the majority of your conscious awareness for the hyper-advanced complex formula you're working on. We will know that fire is positive, earth is negative, water is emotional, air is very dry. This just be like, oh, yeah, oh, wow, hey, ooh. That will be second nature, but that will be the platform. You know, if you know that 2 + 2 = 4, you don't have to struggle and go, ah, 2 + 2, and it'll make sense that 2 × 2 is just, well, we have 2 sets of 2. Well, that's 2 + 2. So that also equals 4. So this kind of stuff will just become so easy, you'll just laugh at it. And the problem that I'm putting forth as a challenge to all other astrological books that I've ever read that are on the planet that are anywhere, is they make astrology too damn hard to learn. You know, they start you right in, signs, planets, trines, quadrangles. What? Go away. So, we have this thing we call energy. We know that everything is composed of energy. Okay. Ask your favorite quantum physicist. A slow enough vibrational rate, or again, something some nerdy scientist can explain to you better than I can, will coalesce energy into physical matter. Now we have matter and we got energy, meaning I can touch it. Here's my desk. That's a solid thing. I'm waving my hand through the air. That's an ethereal thing. Does that mean there's no energy in the air? Well, we know that there's radio waves, light rays, gamma rays, all kinds of stuff in the air. Well, they're germs. They're things that we know that are there that we can't see. The fact that we can move our hand through them, we just go, okay. So that is the most basic example of splitting things in two. I can see it, touch it, feel it, taste it, smell it, or it doesn't exist. And that's the beginnings of what I like to call psychological dualism. This versus that, good versus evil, pleasant versus unpleasant, us versus them, and then left, right, up, down, male, female, on, day, night, all that stuff. So let's apply that to this thing we call energy. In the New Age, and God bless New Agers, I love them so much. I want to give them all a big collective hug. But it's kind of limited. The terminology that I hear used a lot is just the energy of this room. Raise energy. Even pagans, you know, let's raise a cone of energy. Well, that's like if there was only one flavor of ice cream. Here's your ice cream. Is it vanilla? No. Vanilla would be giving it a label. It's just ice cream. Whatever flavor it is, whatever it tastes like, whatever color, that's it. Now, we go to Baskin-Robbins, and there's like ice creams of like every different color and shape, and we're like, oh my God. And then stuff called Italian ice. What's that? And we got this Froggert. What's that? And then we have soft serve. It's not really ice cream. And then we have ice cream cake. How do they do this? Well, we are going to figure out the secrets of Baskin-Robbins and how they get all those different colors and flavors and everything. And we're going to do it nice and gently. And we're not going to scare you with a lot of crappy terminology. We're going to start by saying, we know that we can separate anything in half. You just take a knife, chop. Now you got two of them, or you have two halves. So with energy, we can separate that into two polarities. In electronics, we call that a positive charge or a negative charge. In magnetism, it would be the North Pole or the South Pole. Well, on Earth, it would be the North Pole or the South Pole. You know, one has polar bears and the other one has penguins. I don't think they have polar bears in the Antarctic. I think they have killer whales. But I think they have seals. See, this is where I shouldn't go speculating. But on the exact opposite sides of the equator, we have a North Pole and a South Pole. When the sun comes up, yay, it's daytime, we can see things. When it goes down, yay, it's dark, it's night, it's spooky, it's scary. It's when everybody gets all sexy and puts on costumes and whatever. So this is us simply dividing our awareness, male and female, left and right, up and down. These are simple, it's either this or it's that. We can do that with energy by saying we have a male or masculine, which is just the same thing as saying progressive, aggressive. Help me out here, Carol.
energetic.
Right. Versus feminine, which is, not, again, this, take the sexism out of this. This has nothing to do with man and wife or, you know, men or women dominant or anything. It's just literally talking about energy. So we try to come up with non-sexist terms, such as seductive, you know, aggressive versus seductive, or aggressive versus receptive. Carol, your turn.
Nurturing for female versus the male is the one that needs to be nurtured.
Or is the provider.
Provider.
Which is very Saturn, and I know I'm getting way ahead of it, but that's very cold and distant, providing versus very nurturing, caring. So we have feeling versus unfeeling. And then we have just basically positive versus negative. So we can separate energy into two parts. Okay, great. We'll come back to that when we talk about elements in a moment. But our first division is chopping something in half. That's the easiest thing we can do. The next thing we can do is chop things into thirds, you know, because we have a whole of something, or now we have two of something, and now we have three of something. Well, when we divide energy into thirds, we come up with terms like cardinal, fixed, and mutable. That's literally like the morning, the noon, and sunset, because these are all, if we say, here's the daytime hours, we got the beginning, the middle, and the end. Kind of like every story has a beginning, a middle, and an end. Did I miss anything, Carol, or some other way we could describe the threes?
No, you could, as you were saying, you could describe them as the parts of the day, and then you could also describe them as seasons of the year.
Now we get into four. So we go from two to three to four. The seasons happen because, well, here, you're smart, Carol. You tell me what the sun does that makes the seasons happen.
Well, the earth travels around the sun, and as the sun the earth gets farther away from the sun, that's what, and tips in, on its axis, that's what makes the seasons.
Well, technically.
It's
to do with the distance from the sun. Although that's a good thing you brought up, because it's, that astrophysicists school me on this. It's got not to do with the distance of the sun, but the axial tilt. Or, in simple terms, the sun crosses the equator going north. That marks spring. Well, when the sun gets as high north as it can and turns around, says, I'm going to go back to south, that moment of turning, that marks summer. So summer is actually the decline of the year, because we're right at the top. Again, astrology is very northern hemisphere centric. I apologize to everybody in the southern hemisphere. You can flip it around for yourself, but astrology was made for the people in the northern hemisphere, which causes a lot of confusion. We'll get to all that later. But for right now, we're just going to say, for simplicity, the sun is on the equator, moving north. Okay, that's spring. This is elementary school science. It gets to the top or apex and starts going south. Okay, now we are in summer, and the moment the sun gets to the equator and it starts rising and setting below the equator, that would be fall. And then winter gets a bad rap. But summer and fall, the sun is at its zenith or its peak, and it's, the days are getting shorter, 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 shorter. That's really the decline of the year. In Celtic mythology, that was ruled by the Holly King, if anybody knows that. And then when the sun gets to what we call the winter solstice, basically, it's gone about as far south as it's going to go, and it's going to start that long climb up to the equator, and then it's going to get to the equator, and it's going to keep going all the way to, you know, towards the North Pole. So the days get longer and longer and longer. So that first quadrant is winter. So we have spring, summer, fall, winter. We start astrology not in winter at the beginning, like what would be considered like midnight of the year, because, you know, it's at the lowest or the darkest. We actually started at sunrise, around 6 a.m., with spring. Why? Long story. We'll go into the astrology history of all that later on. But that's the difference between our modern method of keeping time, where everything starts at midnight. And midnight is an artificial term, technically. We can always look at the sun and go, aha, that is sunrise. I can see it. But we have to kind of calculate midnight. We can't go, you know, we have to like, okay, well, it's been this long since sunrise, it's going to be that long till sunset, so here's this spot in the middle. So it's just always been easier throughout history to go, sunrise, that's the beginning of the day. Or if you're into the whole Celtic thing, sunsets, that's the beginning of the day. You know, if you want to start with the gestation cycle, say, you start like a pregnancy where most of the stuff's happening, you can't see it. Like, oh, look, here's the birth, now I can see it. So if we divide energy by two, we have polarities, male versus female, positive versus negative. If we divide energy into threes, we have the beginning, the middle, and the end, and we've done an episode on each one of those. And then now we can divide energy into four parts. Now, Chinese astrology, I believe, has five elements. Fire, earth, wood, iron, and water. It doesn't have air. Druidic, or specifically the island of Britain and Ireland, you know, separate people, whatever they want to call themselves, I'm not getting into the political thing here. They had the land, sea, and sky, so they had three elements. Classical Western mythology and philosophy and the old sciences before the discovery of like electrons and protons and whatever, they had four elements: fire, earth, air, and water. This is what we use in astrology, or I should say Western astrology, is fire, earth, air, and water. These are the four elements. So we have three different groups. We can break this blob of energy in two, polarities. We can break it in three, qualities. And we break it in four, elements. Which one is best? None of them. We will learn how to put all of these together and come up with things that are far beyond your wildest dreams. This is how millionaires predict the stock market for billionaires. This is how geopolitical groups plot out the progress of a nation. And this is how you can figure out how to get your husband to lower the seat when he's done. Or lift the lid before he starts, which is probably always good as well. So we're going to do an introduction to elements in this episode. And in the next four episodes, we will take one element and talk all about it and how it can be seen in daily life. How can it appear? So by the time that we're done with that, you will have an excellent grasp of the way all the building blocks work. We're not going to use any astrological signs or terminology. We're strictly speaking on an elementary level, and this is so important that you get this. Because if you do the math, if you take the time, listen to this, work it out in your head, when we get to all the other stuff, it's going to be second nature. You'll be able to go, oh, this makes sense, and that makes sense, and that makes sense. And it'll seem so easy. You try to jump ahead, you're just going to hurt yourself. So, Carol, do you want to tell me anything about the elements before we start?
Well, there are four of them. And some of them get along very well, and others are in conflict with each other. They don't get along.
Now, show me in real life, like, two elements that would be, let's say, mortal enemies.
Let's see. Well, fire and water.
Okay, that makes sense. Fire boils water, or water pretty much extinguishes fire. So, kind of hard for those two to get along, right?
Correct.
What about friends? Do you think fire or water have any friends?
Fire would be friends with air, because air feeds fire.
Okay, that makes sense. And what about water?
Water would be friends with air, or it would be friends probably with earth, too.
I think it would be best friends with earth, because water and earth, and when we talk about the element of earth, yes, if you want to get detailed, we're talking about iron, stone, rock, trees, but when you think about the element of earth, I just want you to think dirt, the element of dirt, just for simplicity. It will really help you out over the long run. But earth and water make mud. Unlike air and water, you don't need to apply heat. Air and water, water can freeze. Air, the problem with water and air is the ocean. We have water below, air above. They don't really blend. Air and fire blend nicely, very nicely. Fire is intangible. It invades the space of the air, but it also draws in the air to heat the air, and it's incredibly hot air. They're both like of a gaseous, or if you want to get really technical, plasma form. But earth and water are both, well, one is a solid, one is a liquid. They're both very material. You can see, touch, taste, feel, drink, eat them. Nobody wants to eat dirt, I hope. But they blend without any effort at all. If it rains on the ground soaks up the water, and it becomes mud, a third entity, which is a mixture of earth and water. So, fire and air are friends, and earth and water are friends. Air versus earth is simply nothing but solid, physical form. I can see, touch, taste, and feel it. It's eminently practical. And air, which is, well, it's ethereal. We can't prove that it's there unless we prove that it's there. We have to actually take scientific measurements. We have to feel the wind. But if we're just in a room and we're waving our hand around, there's nothing to grab onto. If we don't have a cloud, we can't say, aha, there's something in the air. We can see right through the air. Because we can't see through earth, it's so much easier psychologically and physically to detect its presence. So it's not that they're not friends, it's just they're polar opposites in that sense. Again, the last two elements, fire and water, are also polar elements. Water likes to freeze, fire likes to burn. Water puts out fire, fire boils water. Very, very hard to get these two to work together. Natural enemies. So, just by taking a common sense look at the everyday reality of a match or a lighter versus a popsicle or a glass of water, we can see how certain elements will get along quite easily and other ones won't. This, knowing this now, will make advanced astrology infinitely easier. We'll be able to tell, oh, of course, you're fire. Now, that's another thing. If we were to say, just for fun, that fire and water are bitter enemies, and maybe not so violent, earth and air, it's got nothing in common. Then we have the happy side. We have fire and air are friends. Earth and water are like BFFs. You know, like, oh, let's get together and make mud and grow. And when you put earth and water together, you get life. You know, something's going to grow. Now, if we want to go to that highest level, or soulmates, fire and fire get along best. Fire loves more fire. Water and water get along best. If you pour two different glasses of water into a third glass, all you have is water. You don't have a little bit of this and a little bit of that. You just have more water. They blend so well together that you can't distinguish one water from another, because that's the essence, is that you've just made more of the same thing. So those two elements really get along well together. Add earth to more earth, well, you just got a bigger pile of dirt. Add air to more air, it's just air. So on the how well do we get along scale, elements love themselves narcissistically more than they love any other element. And then the others we've already got through. Did I put that out well, Carol? Do you have anything to add to that?
Yeah, I think you did.
Okay, sorry to hog the conversation, but okay, just interrupting. So the essence of the elements is that there are four of them, and we can, if we put them in a box and we say fire, then earth, then air, then water. This is the order that they come in astrology. Witchcraft, some new age belief systems, I say that generically, not to insult them, different religions or ancient philosophies may put these elements in different orders. Okay, that's fine. But fire, then earth, then air, then water is the direction they go in astrology, F-E-A-W. If you can remember that, it'll make it a lot easier for you. And as we go along, you'll see the beauty of astrology is that everything fits together. If you can learn the basics, the advanced stuff falls right into place. There's not a lot of memorization. Unlike any techniques some of you may have tried before, throw out all those books. Well, actually, don't throw out the books, but save them for later. When you get all this stuff and you go back through them, you'll be able to figure out where those authors are wrong, which is kind of cool because you know more than they do. And you'll also be able to understand things that they were trying to teach you that didn't make sense before. So, why do we have elements? Elements are the foundation of science. Tell me something about the quality of fire, if you would, Carol. What makes fire fire? You know, how do we know what, like, let's say someone has a lot of fiery, they have a fiery personality. What does that mean anyway?
That's one thing I like about the English language. It ties in so well with all this. But anyway, you know, somebody's full of a lot of fire. They've got a lot of enthusiasm. They've got a lot of get up and go. They're energetic. They're willing to take chances. You know, they rush in where, you know, fools fear to tread, kind of a thing. They've got courage. Everything, very positive energy, outgoing. The flip side of that, I guess, if you get to be where you start talking about, like, if it gets to be too much, they could be aggressive and violent.
I like that. So just like actual fire.
Correct.
We can say fire keeps us warm, yay. Well, yeah, if you stick your hand in it, it's going to burn. And fire is greedy. Fire likes to consume. It's like, gimme, gimme, gimme. It's always hungry. And the moment you stop feeding fire, it just goes away. And that describes the essence of people who are dominated. Or when I say people, animals, events, circumstances, locations, anything that can be pinpointed can be assigned an element or a combination of elements. But we'll get to that combination stuff later. Right now, we're just talking like building blocks, real simple. This is this, 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 or this. There's only four choices. You are either all fire or all water or all air or all earth. But right now, that's where we're at. So, Mr. Fire is energetic and he's bold. But he's kind of also a jerk. He likes bossing people around because fire is incredibly narcissistic. It's self-centered. It's all it wants to do is change this into that. Pretty much, it changes everything into carbon at some point. But fire instigates. And that's the beautiful thing about fire, is it leaves nothing untouched. Everything it touches, it burns. Everything it burns, it changes. Fire is infectious and contagious. Anything can burn if you give it a high enough temperature. So fire as an element, it's like an esoteric term or concept, has direct similarities to the physical property or the physical thing we call fire. Properties are the same. It's aggressive, it's angry. If it gets bored, it just goes somewhere else. If you stop feeding it, it'll go somewhere else or die off. It has a tendency to use up all its energy at once. So that's the very basic description of fire. Again, we'll give fire in the very next episode its own 30 minutes, and we'll go well and deep into fire. So we see the good parts and the bad parts and variations of it. But for right now, we just want to lay down and give something to compare it against. Okay, let's talk about Earth. It's stable, it's solid, it's practical. What else can we say about Earth, Carol?
It doesn't like change. It likes to stay in one spot.
Thank God for that. I'd hate to come home every day and found out that my house had gotten up and moved because the Earth was like, I feel like changing today. How about a nice earthquake? So, Earth energy is stable, doesn't like to change, but that makes it reliable.
Correct, but then it can also get to be where it's boring and stubborn.
And predictable, right?
And predictable.
Every element has its positive sides and its negative sides. And if you think that I am picking on you, I want you to banish that thought. I pick on everybody, but especially me. We take a very hard, real look at what we're good at and what we're bad at. And remember that, as far as we're concerned, I'm going to jump way ahead here, ain't none of us 100% fire, 100% earth. So I cannot possibly describe any one person in history. Right now, we're just looking at the raw stuff we're all made of. It's like a cake is not just a bowl of flour. And even if it was, that bowl of flour has been sifted, it has been baked, it has been frosted, but it's not. It has eggs and milk and sugar and whatever in it. But it's that alchemical process of blending with other things and applying heat and letting it cool, and all for the right amount of time and in the right ingredients. That's more like a human. But right now we're just looking at flour. Then we'll look at sugar. Then we'll look at eggs. Yeah, eggs, protein, yay. Cholesterol, boo. Are we picking on eggs? No, we're saying here's the strengths and here's the weaknesses. So earth, slow, reliable, stable, stubborn, but also very deeply sensual. When I say sensual, yeah, I mean exactly what you think I mean. But let's look at the word sensual. It means, or you can look at the dictionary to see what it means, but what I mean is that it's the enjoyment of and the appreciation of or the application of the senses. It is living in this world. It is seeing, touching, tasting, feeling. A lot of people go through life, they don't taste the food they eat because they're too busy, go, 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 or they're just not paying attention. Other people are more cerebral about it, and they don't get full value or full pleasure out of life. So if someone was saturated from head to toe with the earth element, they would naturally have a better grasp on the reality of what we call life. They would feel every texture. They would taste every flavor. It would just be natural to them. They would see more colors than we do because they're here and now, and they're in the moment. And that's what Earth is. It's, Earth is all about what you can see, touch, taste, and feel. Pragmatism, practicality. Now, let's just, for fun, before we go any farther, let's compare fire versus Earth. Well, I'll start. Fire is very impatient, active, energetic, go, go, go. Loves to burn, loves to change things. That's a very masculine thing, which we'll get into later. Earth is a rather feminine thing, which is like, I will sit here and not change things. I like things the way they are. Fire and Earth, just on that level, angry neighbors, you know, not exactly the best of friends. Carol, what would you add to that comparison of fire versus Earth, please?
That fire can be very aggressive and, you know, go after what it wants, whereas Earth tends to be sits back. The energy sits back and lets the things that it wants come to them.
And that's a good point, because fire would be like an invasive species, or anything invasive. Literally, fire invades. I'm going to grab you and I'm going to burn you. Earth, because it's so fixed and stubborn, would be more defensive in the sense that it resists change. That makes sense, right?
Correct. Yes, oh, it does.
Speaking of change, air. I'm here. I mean, all over the place. They say that the four winds are fickle. Winds are ever changing. Oh, that's true. I like my air mutable, which we've talked about earlier. I like my air to be flexible and changeable, because when I breathe it, I'm tapping on my desk. You can probably hear that. My hand will not pass through this desk. I haven't reached some Obi-Wan Kenobi Zen Buddhist super monk Buddha something state where I can say, watch, and my hand, damn it, still doesn't go through the desk. I was hoping it would if I described the process. That is solid. That is very earthy. If I tried to breathe my desk, well, it just doesn't make sense. It doesn't move. But air is so completely changeable. I can breathe in, I can breathe out. The air comes and goes. That is the exact opposite of this solid thing that I call my desk. So I don't want my air fixed. I don't want it rigid. I don't want it solid. I like the idea of breathing so I can continue making these podcasts. So air in and of itself is very much not like Earth. It's not stubborn. It's not, you know, I'm dangerous. Air is so ethereal. You can change it simply by waving your hand around. Go ahead, wave your hand around. I know it sounds crazy, but do it. If you're doing it, you can feel a little breeze on your face if you're waving your hand close to your face. But also there's very little resistance to you moving your hand around. You are changing the air. Wherever your hand goes, there was air there before, but the air just got out of the way. That is the essence of the element of air, which is good, because going far ahead, if we ever want to change something, air, if we want to change something, we can use fire or air. But if we want to make something adaptable, air, yay. We want something solid, earth, yeah, solid. We want to go in and invade something, you know, fire, here, just have some fire, you know, it'll change everything. So what can you tell me about air from an astrological point of view without using a whole bunch of gobbledygook, Carol?
Well, from the astrological standpoint, air can also be very, as you were saying, changeable. And if you get into where, like you said, can also be kind of superficial and evaporate easily, you know, go like the wind, you know, it's here 1 minute, it's gone the next, like the weather, One minute it's wind, the next minute it's, you know, the wind has died and then there's no air. So you just never know where you stand a lot of times with air.
Yeah, air is there. It's like a balloon. There's nothing to hold it down. Its whole purpose is to be malleable, which again makes it unreliable. So if you want something unreliable, ooh, yeah, air.
Yeah, I think the term airhead, I think that's something that everybody
Yeah.
can relate to. It's like there's somebody that's like there's you keep trying, but there's nothing there, and that's how air can be. It's like you keep looking and it was there 1 minute, but now it's gone.
But see, now there's another thing, and I'm glad you brought that up because we're talking about the strengths and the weaknesses or the positives and the negatives. So there's a good negative. Let's give a good positive. The element of air in astrology is very cerebral. Cerebral. See, I'm not an air sign, so I can't say it. Air is the element of intellect. Thought is best when you have an open mind, meaning changeable. When we have a fixed mentality, like opinions, that's like Earth. It's like, I'm just going to, and I'm not saying Earth people are fixed mentality. I'm talking about the element of Earth. If we could inject intellect into Earth, it would probably say things like, well, it wouldn't say anything. And if it did, it'd be like Ernest Hemingway. Use the least amount of words. And you get my point. Whereas air would just be like, blah, 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 blah. I have all these words. Which one should I use? I don't know. Let me talk about it out loud. So air and intellect go together like mom and apple pie or peanut butter and jelly. I'm hungry now. I have some Uncrustables down in the freezer. It's just somebody put peanut butter and jelly in a sandwich, cuts the crust off, froze it, and said, here, if you're too lazy to make a peanut butter and jelly sandwich like I am, this is for you. I'm too lazy, I just eat them frozen. So it's really bad. But that's how well air and intellect go together. Because when we are making sounds, that's a vibration of air. When we're thinking, we are getting our synapses to fire and stuff that I don't understand. Talk to a psychotherapist about all this stuff. Or better yet, a brain surgeon. We are comparing one thing to another. Oh, that doesn't fit, so we grab something else. Intellect or problem solving works best when there's nothing to stop it. And air is the fastest of all of the elements because even fire has some type of physical texture to it. Assuming you don't, and kids, don't do this at home. I don't want you to burn your hands. But if you have a large fire and you can move your hand through it, you can feel that subtle texture of the flames. Air is not limited by solid physical matter, which is why air and intellect work the best because you can think fastest, speak fastest, and process information. So air, we'll get to water, which is emotional in a moment. But again, just to tie in, air, unemotional. It's there's no emotion. It's just pure intellect, which again goes back to the flaky thing. Did I miss anything, Carol?
Yeah, I was just going to add to what everything you said about air is that, the reason that we're even able to have a civilization and culture, how everything started, is that, it happened because people are able to communicate with each other, which is all air.
Oh, absolutely.
Expressing thought and language is an air thing.
Oh, I like that. So, jumping ahead just a little bit, we will see in the next couple episodes that fire and air are masculine. Again, masculine, aggressive, proactive, whatever. Earth and water will be feminine or seductive, reactive, passive, all that stuff. We're talking about energy here. We're not talking about people. We're not making sexist remarks. So I want to make very sure, very clear on a regular basis that we're not sliding down that hole. So, given we know that fire is aggressive, masculine, it's impatient, it just loves to burn. Earth is very sedate. It's very reliable. It's very patient. Very calm. Yeah, it's sometimes boring. air is just like, wee, blah, 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 blah. It's just everywhere. Well, now we have water. Water congeals. What else does it do, Carol? Tell me about water as water and as an element, please.
Well, water is it's very changeable. And it's the only element that can exist in three different states. I mean, water can be frozen, it can be steam, or it can be a liquid. So water is very changeable. And then from an astrological standpoint, you know, it's changeable. It will seek its own element. It follows the path of least resistance. It always goes downhill if it can help. And as a quality, you know, water is emotions and feelings.
Yes, water has always been representative of the emotions, the subconscious mind, the feeling, its connection to the moon, you know, the ocean, water, the moon. This has all come together because through a process of discovery, we went, oh, this makes sense. We didn't just like pick something and say, do it that way. If you follow the tarot, the elements were not part of the tarot at its inception. The elements were added to the tarot. Does that make it not work? No, it works out really well, actually. Cups, and I only mention this because if anybody is listening to this and they know about the tarot, but they don't know about astrology, just think of the suit of cups. We got happy times, sad times. But generally, the focus of the Suit of Cups is, how does this make you feel? Earth, very practical. Money, money, money. Practical. Can I see, touch, taste it? You know. And then some people say wands are fire. Some people say swords are fire. We're just going to say the general consensus, not because it's right, but just because it's what everybody else believes. So we're going to go with that. Wands are fire, swords are air. Well, actually, I don't want to get into that because it's a long discussion and I can take both sides on that. But sticking with the cups and the water, it's an easy way to understand how water congeals. Water can evaporate, but when it's hot, therefore it expands. And when it's cold, water finds other little microns or microscopic particles and whatnot of other water bits, and it collects. Water loves being around other water, so it can become more water. It doesn't become something else, it just becomes super water. You know, you can have a bowl of water, hey, it's a bowl of water. But if you take that same water and add it to a lake, now it's like, I am all powerful, I am a lake. And then if you add that lake into the ocean, it's like, I cover two-thirds of the earth. I'm the dominant force on the planet, and I am the birthplace of all life. So water is very protective. It is very nurturing. We know no water, no life. Just look at Mars. It's got sunshine. It's got rocks. Oh, funny, we got a lot of rocks here. Even has a very thin atmosphere. But the only water that we found are polar ice caps. Frozen water just isn't quite the same as nice, drinkable, room temperature water that can sink into the ground, work with the sun, and any other sparks that might at some point create amino acids in life and blah, blah, blah. So no water on Mars, basically. No life. Water on Earth, lots of life. So, a quick comparison of the four elements. Fire and air, aggressive, unreliable, changeable, very proactive. Earth and water, much more, well, when I say sedate, again, Carol brought up a good point. Water is very changeable. But it's changeable like the ocean is changeable. It has currents, there's pockets of fresh water mixed in with the salt water, the melting icebergs and whatnot. There's temperature changes which cause the currents. The sea itself can be stormy, but the sea doesn't leap into the atmosphere and take over the atmosphere. The sea always stays where it is. Otherwise, you know, we would have done so thousands of years ago. So water and earth are much more subject to gravity. And on an elemental or astrological or esoteric level, that explains a whole bunch. When I say sedate, water and earth like routine. They like things to stay the way they are. They're much more nesting. Fire and air just need to go out and see the damn world. Now, we have all of this inside of us. And to what proportion we have of each kind of determines our basic core nature from which we operate. We all have free will, but we're not blank slates when we enter this world. Here's your sign. It's nice and blank. No, actually, there's some writing on the back. Likes this, prone to this, debilities this. And then you take that blueprint and whatever your environment is that you're raised under, your parents, their friends, whether you have food to eat or not, or the locality, all of these bounce off of your core nature and then create this complex thing, which is you. And then, of course, you have your own free will on top of that. So we are incredibly complex human beings. Right now, we're just talking about the four basic elements. We will break those down over time and get much more complex. But when you understand polarities, male and female, okay? Elements can be either male or female. Easy, you know? Fire is male. Its opposite is water, which is female. Okay, easy. No. I'm going to go out and hunt. Well, I'm going to stay here and raise the kids. Hunting is more important. No, raising the kids is important because, you know, how are you going to cook? You know, what are you going to do? Just like eat your rabbit raw, you know, and besides, I can grow crops over here. You know, it's not that one is better than the other. And when we try to do this, men are superior, women are superior, it's just stupidity. And I know people do it all the time, but they're stupid. By understanding how each element, the meat and the potatoes and the water and the heat, all get together to make the stew. If we try to do it and say, we don't need heat, it's going to be some pretty cold, raw stew. You say meat, it's not going to be very fun. You say potatoes, you're like, ugh, meat, ugh, that's, you know, meat and water. It all needs to, oh, and no water, it's like, what the hell would you know? It's not really a stew. All of the parts need to work together. So these are not value judgments. We're just talking about the different parts. And because I happen to be a Sagittarius and Carol is an Aquarius, we like poking fun at things. So we're going to do that too. All right, Carol, I think I've stuffed a whole bunch of information into this. I hope you guys listen to this two or three times. If you can stand it, it'll really, really open your minds up. Carol, have I missed anything? Is there anything else you'd like to add?
No, Dusty, I think you did a great job.
Oh, you're too for kind. But besides whether or not I did or we did or anything, I can't think of anything else that I want to throw in this just yet without complicating it. So I guess the next four episodes, we will sit down and we will talk about fire. And what we say about one element, you know, can apply to another element. Is fire aggressive? Yes. Oh, air is aggressive. But we're just going to be focusing on each element so that we can see them for what they are and how they all work together. So thanks for being here. Please subscribe to this podcast. Just go to iTunes and go Easy Tarot Lessons Podcast, hit subscribe, or go to the webpage where you find this, scroll down and see the button. And if you can't figure out how to do any of that, email me, me@dustywhite.net. How do I subscribe to your stupid podcast? And that way you'll get them delivered automatically. And it's absolutely free. And you can listen on Windows Media Player or whatever, but iTunes is easy. Thank you. Please comment and write questions. If you have anything you'd like us to answer, if we've gone too fast over something, please stay with us. We will go through all of astrology. But we got lots of time, and because it's free, we're going to take all the time we want. Thank you, Carol, for being here.
Oh, you're welcome, Dusty. Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
Yay. And we went 55 minutes. So thank you, everybody, for, hanging out for this, long extended version. I'll talk to you soon.